we trust Jesus, but we are now being told we are called to be saints. What God is saying is that those whom Jesus has consecrated ought to behave like saints, not ain'ts.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will bring the conclusion of his message that aired last week and entitled, What a Real Saint Looks Like. Last week, we heard from Pastor Grant how the Bible describes saints differently from what they may be sometimes thought of. He pointed out how, according to God's Word, all saints alike have a sinful history, but they also all alike have been transformed by believing the gospel. This evening, Pastor Grant continues the theme, turning to what being a saint means in the life of the person who has believed the gospel, and how it is that being a saint carries with it the assurance of eternal security. This is another in Pastor Grant's series on the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles close by, you might want to follow along as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, What a Real Saint Looks Like. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Let me share with you two ways in which this gospel transforms a life. Number one, salvation begins when we believe the gospel. Look with me here at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12. Here's what it says, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to what it is saying. It is saying that these Ephesians, how did they become saints? Don't miss this, folks. These folks became saints because they trusted after they heard the word of truth, which is the gospel. They said, after you heard the gospel, you trusted. It says, in whom having believed. These people believed the gospel. I run into people all the time who believe the reason they're going to heaven is because they're good church members. I'll ask them, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, are you sure you're on the way to heaven? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not sure how you'd answer. And do you know what people say? They say, Brian, I'm a member of Heaven Bound Baptist. And all of us in Heaven Bound Baptist are heaven bound. I've been baptized. I am in the usher board. I'm a trustee. My friend, you could be baptized upside down, right side up, sideways. All I want you to know is when you're baptized, if you have never trusted Jesus, you went into the water a dry sinner and you came up a wet sinner. Nothing happened. You see, these people were saved because, listen, they believed the gospel. Well, the word believing the gospel, you may say to me, what is this gospel? The first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15 gives us in a nutshell what the gospel is. And the Bible tells us some key essentials of the gospel. Christ died for our what? Sins. All of us are sinners. But thank God Jesus Christ died for our sin. That's the good news. Jesus died. He paid the penalty that my sin deserved and your sin deserved. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for your sins? But listen, he was buried, it says. And then it said, on the third day he rose again. That's hallelujah ground, because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if Jesus was still in the tomb, his death would be like anybody else's death, but Jesus Christ. And by the way, in case some of you wonder, is this for true? Listen, this is the most well-authenticated fact in ancient history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has been authenticated, not just by the Bible, but all sort of secular historians. Jesus Christ's resurrection is factual and authenticated. And the fact that my Jesus is alive gives authority to the fact that he's able to save and to keep all those who come unto God by him. Hallelujah. Listen, that's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And listen, what God wants you to do is to believe. Yes, admit that you're a sinner, but believe that Jesus died for your sin and that he is able to save you. This business of belief, though, gives some people trouble, because you might say, but Pastor, I believe Jesus was here. I believe he was a good man. I believe he died. In fact, I believe he died for me. But you see, believe, I'm glad this verse actually adds the word trust. Because the belief that Jesus is talking about, the belief that saves, is a belief that causes you to trust your life to God. The Kilauea volcano is big in the news this week because it has been erupting and it has been destroying homes. And this week, of course, I couldn't help but remember, and some of you heard me tell this story before, but I couldn't help remember when Cheryl and I went to the Kilauea volcano several years ago. And when we got there, the gate was closed and there was a big sign, a danger, keep out, volcanic eruption. And so all those people who wanted to see the volcano were turning back. But this brother, sometimes he's a little stubborn-headed. So I pulled over anyhow, and I walked up to the gate. And there were some rangers there. And the ranger said, you know, you got to keep out. And I said, is it possible for us to go in? And for whatever reason, I sometimes wonder why. I don't know why. Probably because he hadn't run into too many Jamaicans there before. But for whatever reason, he said, would you like to come in then? I said, is it dangerous? He said, yes. But he said, if you follow me, you'll be okay. So I looked at my wife, and you know, she sometimes will go along with me. And so we decided we're going to go through. We went through the gate, just the two of us and the guide. Nobody else, everybody else was turned away. Was it that we were fools? But we were trusting. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. I tell you, it was a long way. But as we got closer to where the earth had broken open, it got fiery hot. When I say hot, and the smell of sulfur, and there were like little pieces of glass because of where the lava would flow into the ocean with all that the silica in the thing. But I tell you, we finally got to a point where he said, listen, you don't make any step. Wherever you see me step, you step right there. And to make the point, he broke off a twig and he touched a stone that looked like a regular stone. And when he touched the stone, it just lit a fire. He wanted us to realize that even some of those stones that looked like they were so hot because an eruption, that section was he said it wasn't one of these bow eruptions. It was a gentle, nice, sweet eruption. But as we walked by behind the guide, it became clear we were trusting him with our life. What an amazing thing to look inside. Cheryl and I still sometimes talk about it. To look inside the earth and see the fire, the literal burning fire. Oh, you don't believe there could be a hell? God already has, he's got something under there right now. The literal fire. And we looked inside. Of course, we're like burning to death because it is so hot. But I wonder if you realize what happened. We had totally entrusted our life in that man's hand. We never made one step. Can Brother Herb, trust me, I never made one step. And God is asking some of you this morning to put your trust in him, not just with your life. He wants you to put your trust, entrust your life, your soul to him. He wants you to say, God, I am so trusting that you will lead me to a heavenly home, that here is my life, and I'm going to go your way. I'm going to follow you, and I'm not going to take any steps that you're not taking. I'm going to go with you all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. And there needs to be somebody here this morning who will say, Lord Jesus, I am willing to go. I'm willing to admit I'm a sinner, but I want you to save me today. But listen, salvation happens when we believe the gospel, but consecration only happens when we live out the gospel. The word saint comes from a Greek word which means consecrated to God, or to be set apart for God, or to be holy. That's what it means. It's to be consecrated, to be set apart for God. And the minute you and I put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, something dramatic happens. God actually consecrates us. He sets us apart for himself. And that's why it's possible, my friend, for you to become a saint today. Because if you trust Christ, he will set you apart for himself. He will make you a saint. But there's another aspect, you see. God has set you apart, but what he wants you to do is to set yourself apart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, we read these words. It tells us we're not only saints. It says we are called to be saints. Well, I want you to get the difference. We are saints the minute we trust Jesus, but we are now being told we are called to be saints. What God is saying is that those whom Jesus has consecrated ought to behave like saints, not ain'ts.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
There are a lot of Christians who are behaving like ain'ts, like they ain't Christian. And those whom God has consecrated ought to live a consecrated life. This is what he says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Hallelujah. My beloved brother and sister, he's telling us a fact. You were once in darkness, but you're now in the light. And he says, walk. This is an imperative. Walk as children of light. A saint has no business acting like he ain't. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. These folks in Ephesus got it. Do you know that these Christians were so big into witchcraft? But after they became Christians, the Ephesians realized, we can't live like this anymore. So guess what they did? The church had a big bonfire. Elders, probably we need a bonfire, GCA. The elders had a big bonfire. And they brought, the people brought all the books on witchcraft, all the books on the magical arts. Oh, we need a bonfire for all you folks who have some pornography in your house. All them videos, all the magazines. We need a bonfire that you can come and burn the trash. Do you know the Bible actually took the time to tell us that the value of the books they burnt was 50, Acts 19. You can read it for yourself when you get home. 50,000 pieces of silver was the value of the books. You say, bring it into today's term. I did some calculation based on some things that I found online. $5 million worth of books they burned. Can you hear me? $5 million worth of books. Because they were convinced we cannot keep on living the same old way. Get this. People who want to keep their garden beautiful cannot preserve a plot for weeds. Did you get that? People who want to keep their garden beautiful cannot preserve a plot for weeds. How stupid would it be for you to be growing all these flowers and right in the front of the flowers is this big plot of weeds that you have specially preserved? How in the world do you think? If you don't do it in the natural, why in the world? Come on now, Christian friend. Why in the world are you doing it in the spiritual? Why in the world have you preserved a plot for weeds? A plot for stuff that you know doesn't please God. As if God don't see. Come on, as if God don't see. This morning, God is talking to somebody and he's saying, the plot has got to go. The weeds has got to go. That old way has got to go. You got to walk my way because you are a saint. And if you're a saint, you ought to look like a saint. This is a special family day. In our Sunday school class, we spoke about relationships. And I am convinced that one of the big areas of challenge for believers in Jesus Christ, in addition to the sinful, clearly sinful stuff we do, here's another big issue. That's as sinful as all get out, but we love to excuse it. We love to keep a plot where we refuse to forgive. We have issues with people. In fact, I bet you if we took a survey, there's a good number of you here this morning who have an issue with somebody. Oh, you're a believer. Do you know that some people have no intention of calling their mom today? Although it's Mother's Day. Did you know that? Cut it mad. Do you know that their mothers and fathers who haven't spoken to their children in a while because they're mad? And yet you say, but now I belong to Jesus. And all I know is Jesus has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God is in the business of reconciling us to himself and to reconciling us to each other. And my friend, I just want to say to you, whatever your issue is, whatever your plot of weeds is, God is fingering it right now. He's touching it. He's telling you right now, he's saying to you, that plot of weeds in your life has got to go. I trust that this morning, as we give the invitation in a few minutes, you will speak to God and say, God, I'm willing to go your way. I don't only want, not satisfied just to be a saint. I want to act like a saint. I want to behave like a saint. Listen, God's saints all have a sinful history. God's saints all have been transformed by the gospel. But finally, God's saints all have the Holy Spirit's guarantee. Did you notice when we were reading Ephesians chapter 1, it says here in verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The minute you believe you were sealed, there's nothing you had to do to be sealed. Listen, the minute you got saved, the Spirit of God came in you. And the Bible says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Listen, the minute we got saved, the Spirit came into us and he did two incredible things for us. Number one, he sealed us. And number two, he guaranteed us. Number one, the first thing the seal means our salvation is complete. Listen, there's so much more we could talk about the seal. But one of the things it means is our salvation is complete. We don't have to go trying to speak in tongues. We don't have to wait for nothing. We don't have to tarry. The minute you receive Christ, your salvation is complete. But the second thing it means, we are secure. I remember I used to receive all these envelopes, and it would have a wax seal. Anybody ever gotten one of them? It had a wax seal on it. And when you got that wax seal envelope, you knew that the contents inside the envelope had been secured. And God secures us. He seals us to let us know. Listen. The minute you become a saint, you can never become not a saint. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not even the devil in hell can pull us out of God's kingdom. Not even the devil in hell can make me not a saint. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit, he guarantees our inheritance. Thank God we have an inheritance. And 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to put it on the screen for you, verse 3 and 4. It says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Do you have any great expectations this morning? We live with great expectations, and we have a precious inheritance. Thank God, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Thank God it's not down here. He has it reserved in heaven for me. It's pure, It's undefiled. It's beyond the reach of change and decay. One day we'll talk more about that inheritance, but that's not today's message. But hallelujah, the best is still ahead for the child of God. So what does a saint look like? A saint is a person who had a sinful history but has been transformed by the gospel and in whom the Holy Spirit lives. Does the Spirit of God live in you? You say, Pastor, I'm not really sure he does. If you are not sure he does, perhaps he doesn't live in you. Because my Bible tells me that the Spirit of God witnesses with my spirit, and he gives me that deep assurance in my soul that I'm a child of God. And if you don't have a deep assurance in your soul, if you don't have the witness of the Spirit telling you, you don't have to worry because you are saved, you are a saint already. If you're not sure, you need to make sure this morning. You need to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. And he'll save you. You leave here. Wow. I'm a saint. The story is told of a judge. He was running late for court. And by the time he got to court, the court was packed with all these people who needed to have their cases heard. And judge decided, you know what, I'm to speed things up. I'm going to make things very easy today. What I'm going to do, I'm going to form two lines. I'm going to have a guilty line and an innocent line. All those of you who are willing to admit you're guilty, come and join the guilty line. And all those of you who think you're innocent, join the innocent line. So guess what happened? Three little stragglers came to the guilty line. All the long line of innocent folk. Three little... The judge sat on the bench and he said to the folks in the guilty line, all of you who have admitted you're guilty, I declare you innocent. You're free to go. He says, all of you in the innocent line, I'll sit here till night if it takes to hear your case. Oh, that's just a story. But what a powerful illustration. Because that's what God is offering you today. He says, if you'll come and say, I'm guilty, I want your salvation. He's willing to declare you innocent. He is willing to declare you a saint. Do you want it? Can you believe it's that simple? You don't have to get beaten in your back. You don't have to go up a flight of stairs on your knees. All it takes is a decision in your heart where you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, On behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.